The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to the program. So good to have you with us here on a Thursday afternoon. We have spring football this weekend, the draft 2 weeks from tonight. So quite a bit going on. And seems like we've talked to a number of coaches, Dan Mullen yesterday. We talked to Drink the other day and Brian Harsin and so many. It just seems like there are questions for every SEC team, even Bama. Bama has questions. Breaking news, alert the media. We'll talk about it in a few minutes with Alex Scarborough, who has some thoughts on that. These are some of the spring games. Alabama is on ESPN Network Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern. And these the other games are all on ESPN Plus, so you can stream every one of those games to your heart's delight, beginning at noon Eastern with two games. Bama, of course, on the network, LSU at one, and the rest to boot. Mel Kiper is out, yes, with QB questions in the draft. The one and only Mel Kiper joining us 90 minutes from right now. This is the new one. He's got Trevor, Zach, but Mac Jones starting to cement himself. We asked Mullen about Kyle Pitts yesterday, and it looks like he could be heading down to Tua land. Sewell perhaps at five. Other names that you may be familiar with, Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith. Justin Fields to New England to hang out with Cam Newton. We'll talk about that. It just seems so weird to see New England drafting early. Meanwhile, Frank Martin reflects on a bad year. That's not the word. That's not the word he used. Well, maybe that is the word he used. Frank, what exactly are you trying to say here?
It was the most challenging year of my professional career. It was really difficult. It was complicated personally. And just did, you know, I've 36 years on the sideline, 29 as a head coach. I've had one bad year, which was this past year. Excuse my French, but I can't use another word. I did a job of coaching this past year. I didn't manage things the right way. And then some of the personal stuff I went through made it really, really difficult for me to do my job.
Yeah, Frank, I hate to break in here, but I got bad news for you. What you said, it's not French. we gotta stop this in America. We gotta quit blaming the French for that word. The French came up with some good words on their own, but that one is not one of them. Anyway, what are we going to do here today other than talk about linguistics and grammar? We're going to talk to Alex Scarborough in a couple of minutes. He'll join us. Quincy Avery, a lot of conversation about Justin Fields, and he is going to clear it all up for us. Kiper, 90 minutes away. How about this at the 5 o'clock hour? That's Eastern time, of course. Mac Jones and Landon Dickerson. They know each other pretty well. QB and center. And Nicole Arabak. She'll join us later to talk about all this transfer conversation. Until then, or between now and then, we will take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Talk about whatever you would like. And we have a little time here in the first 30 minutes, so give us a ring. Let's start the conversation and check in with Duke. First up, Duke, good afternoon. Duke, you there? One, two, three. Duke, you are on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Paul.
That's great.
Okay. Anyway, I want to talk about Georgia Bulldogs. I'm a Bulldog fan, and I have been since 1962 when I went to school there. But anyway, I have come to get cynical about the Dogs, as you might have wondered. But anyway, the Dogs are not going to have a winning season. They're going to win their share of games, but they're not going to win a national championship this year because the state of Georgia is not built for championships. The Braves won in 1995, and the Dogs won in 1980. I think Georgia Tech might have tied somebody in 1991, but that's not very good a percentage of winning. So my thoughts
Hold on a second. I think the MLS team won the championship a couple years ago, didn't they, Danny? Thought they did. Yeah, I was there. I was like right across the street when it happened. You know, Duke, I don't mean to, I mean, I realize your royalty and all being a Duke, but Duke of Windsor. But Duke, come on. I mean, what is the Braves' bad luck and the Falcons' misfortunes and all of that have to do with 2021 for the Georgia Bulldogs?
Well, I just feel like that the history does mean something.
You did have a president. Hey, by the way, you did have a president elected in 1976.
Oh, well, that's true. We did. You're right about that. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say, Paul. I just wanted the Dog fans not to get too high on this team. In 2018, we had our best chance, and we didn't do it. So there you go.
Thank you very much. I have to ask everyone to say this question, and I've heard odds makers reference past history. I've heard fans reference it. I've done it before as a newspaper columnist. But does it really mean anything? I'm serious about this. When you know, the curse of the Bambino, all the things in history that we quote or have quoted. But can you honestly say that, you know, what's happened in Georgia, unrelated to the Bulldogs, has anything to do with current day? I don't know. I'm gonna let that one hang out there. Kevin is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you, my friend?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. First thing I'd like to do, Paul, is just take the time to thank you and your staff. You know, every time I call in, your staff is always so welcoming and with what we've been through over the last year and year and a half, you guys have done a phenomenal job on juggling this thing and giving us an opportunity to have an outlet to talk about sports, politics, or whatever, and I want to thank you guys for that.
Well, Kevin, thank you, and we have a fantastic staff, and I will say this, and I've said it months ago, but we all did things differently in the past 13 months, and I include the audience as part of it because yeah, you can't have a program without an audience, and the audience has never been more important to us.
Well, I appreciate that. I got a quick question for you, Paul. I kind of got wrapped up in the Alabama football season, or just college season, last year, and I got to noticing when I was looking back over some things, getting ready for spring football Saturday, Shane Lee just kind of fell off the map, and I didn't even realize he had fallen off the map. Well, obviously, with Dylan Moses coming back, what happened with Shane Lee?
I am not certain. I was. You know what's interesting? I was talking to a friend of mine in Alabama today, who spends a lot of time in Tuscaloosa, and he wasn't so much talking about Shane Lee, because I don't have the answer to that, but I'll see if I can get it. But he was talking about this Alabama defense overall, and I don't think it's gotten enough attention. I'll ask Alex about it at the bottom of the hour. But let me get an answer for you there, because I just don't know. And
just out of curiosity. Okay. Out of curiosity. But listen, I'm not going to hold you up, my friend. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for what you do, and take care of yourself.
Kevin, thank you very much for calling. That means a lot. Phil is up next in Nashville. Phil, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, buddy. Hope you're doing well today.
I am.
Paul, the reason I called in, the other day I saw it on your show when you interviewed Eddie George, which I thought was great. I think it's a good hire for Tennessee State. I can truthfully say I had the honor and privilege of meeting Coach John Merritt when he was living, when he was coaching.
What there. A legend.
Oh, yes, yes, very much so. I hope someone will sit down and talk to Eddie, because I know Eddie's younger and everything, but explain to him what Coach Merritt did for TSU. He had some of the best coaching staff there at TSU, and what he would do, he would go out in the community, help raise funds, and get recruits. And I just saw earlier, about not more than an hour ago, on another channel, that it hasn't been official yet. They hadn't signed him yet, but supposedly Eddie has hired, hopefully he's going to hire Hugh Jackson as offensive coordinator. So
well, how interesting.
That's correct. If that happens, he's got Jeff Fisher, I think, what is it, defensive advisory for him, and I think Jeff's son, Brandon, as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I think he will. I think you're right.
I heard that even Ray Lewis's name's been mentioned as some kind of coach. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, you're hearing all kind of rumors. I just wondered, have you heard any of this stuff or not?
Yes. Hey, I have heard some of that, and I don't know precisely, but you know, John Merritt. You know, is considered in the same breath as the Mario Kasems and the Eddie Robinsons of college football lore. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you very much for mentioning him. Let's take a quick break here. We have a lot to do and plenty of time to do it in. So give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, welcome back here Thursday afternoon. Great to have all of you here. Let's get some more calls. And Chris is up next in Florida. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, sir?
I am doing great.
Been 3 months. I'm dialing you 10, 12 times a day. You're the hottest man in town. Can't get to your program for nothing, man. So congratulations on you being so popular, and your credentials are just out of sight. I don't want to spend all my time praising you, but you're one of the few people in sports that were actually a journalist. And I'm old school. I realize the difference in someone that understands facts and someone that's just giving some uneducated opinion.
Thank you very much.
Got a couple of things. Last week or the week before, we had a good laugh at the Georgia fans that just tend to ask for too much. And you were questioning some of them's mentality. I've been doing that for years, and you get cursed out on radio shows in Atlanta like 680 The Fan, and I used to live and coach there, high school, and Georgia fans are giving Kirby Smart 2 years from here to win a championship. They're treating him the same way they did Mark Richt when they ran him out on a rail, and they're just obsessed with not only winning a national championship, but going through Alabama to do it. And as you stated, that is a challenge that is just not put up for, you know, you just to want and go get. The second thing I want to talk to you about is hearing your opinion, and I hope you'll expound on it to some length, and that's the NFL draft. They've put the young man, Trevor Lawrence, out of no question, first pick. And I saw both he and Justin Fields, along with so many other talented players in Georgia. Georgia high school football is tremendous. And the upper levels play and are coached at a unbelievable, almost two effort for coaching. We do 6 days a week. during the playoffs over the Thanksgiving holidays and Sunday mornings. As a coach, I've even thought it was too much for kids, especially having to prepare Division I and Division II athletes for academics, college-level academics. But the question I want to get to is, how do you feel about the prior announcements of just saying that Trevor Lawrence has got to be the absolute first pick? Does that not put pressure on the general manager, which you express your opinion on there yourself, ability to recognize talent? And I totally agree with 90% of the picks that go on almost every year. Up until a few weeks ago on ESPN, some young ladies were on. Prior to that, you had a gentleman on. I can't remember his name, but he pointed out the fact that Justin Fields had lost two games just like Trevor Lawrence. And not only that, but the latter part of his first season, he played injured with a bad leg and still performed. In the championship series this year against Clemson, he played with injured ribs. I don't know to what degree, but I played football. If you get hit in that area, it hurts. He performed against Alabama, which that Alabama's offense and Ohio State's defense was a mismatch. What I want to ask you is, why are the pundits not understanding the reality of these kids that playing through injury? Justin Fields didn't have but a half a season. And anybody that knows football, you cannot prepare, especially offensively. Half your offensive line is out this week, half your skill players out for next week. There's no uniformity in even the practice. These kids are not even getting to practice together. So I'd like for you to address whether Urban Meyer is just stuck with having to make a pick. Not that Trevor Lawrence would ever be a bad pick. He's a great kid. We were so admired with him. I had retired when his junior year here in Justin Fields, but I always go to see the talented player. This kid was tall and skinny and lanky, and we literally thought he was going to get broken in half at the level of football physicality they play in Georgia. He is tough as a rock. Didn't show any fear of anybody, and that was kind of the coach's pre-game plan for him when he was a junior, to go in there and rough him up. Didn't ever work. And Justin Fields was considered the best quarterback in the nation since he was in the 10th grade. We were going to see this guy. I met Georgia Tech and Clemson recruit representative his sophomore year. He was starting already. I'm not sure if Trevor started until his junior year. I'm not positive about that. But please address that they're just saying that Trevor has to be the first round, and I don't think any coach should have that pressure on him to have to pick, you know, predetermined public opinion or however you want to phrase it. And I just like your intelligent opinion about how draft media goes and what they're actually seeing. Because what I'm seeing are toss-up. I would take Trevor or Justin over anybody. And I can't imagine any intelligent person comparing Clemson and Ohio State with South Dakota State. I've seen that level of competition. You know, you got one or two players that might be able to play in any league, but the other 90% would not belong anywhere near the SEC, Ohio State, or Clemson. So please address the differential. They touch on it every now and then, but nobody is intelligently discussing the personnel that are playing at that level compared to the SEC, Ohio State, and Clemson, especially what they had Trevor Lawrence's freshman year up there on that defensive side. God bless you, man, and you are the best. And help get some of your counterparts to understand facts and real journalism and not just taking up time to talk on the air about absurdities that they have no basis to come to their conclusions on. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Coach. God bless you. And thanks so much for saying that. And I'll try to make this quick. You know, you have to remember, and I know you do, you're a coach.
What the NFL is looking at it is not the best player. They're looking at the best player that fits their system, and that's really why, you know, we've heard over and over again why Mac Jones likely is going to the 49ers. But probably the most influential person in all of that is going to join us in about an hour, Mel Kiper. He sets the table. When he comes out with his first mock draft a year ago, it starts to create the perception. So tonight we're in good shape because we have Mel. We have a man on in a few minutes who believes very strongly in Justin Fields. And I do too. I think Justin could easily be the second player taken, but he's not going to be because of circumstances. And we also have Mac Jones on. So we will get to all of those answers, Coach, in just a few minutes. Right now we must go to the break, and we are coming back with so much more, including a conversation with Alex Scarborough.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and as everyone, at least who follows the Crimson Tide, knows, their scrimmage, their A-Day scrimmage is on Saturday, and joining us to talk about that and much more is Alex Scarborough. Alex, thank you very much. And, you know, it's interesting, and I know you've been working on a piece not only on this weekend, but marking the 10-year anniversary. Impossible to believe, but coming up on April 27th of their tornado and the intersection of Nick Saban and Tuscaloosa and the Crimson Tide in all of that. And before we even get to the game, I would like not to upstage your piece, but to talk a little bit about your reporting and everyone's reflection and remembrance back to that awful day.
Yeah, it almost goes without saying that anyone who was there on that day and experienced it, myself included, could never possibly forget it. And I think what's unique about it is the fact that Nick Saban was there. He was there on that day. He went home, saw the tornado come through. It almost impacted his son's life, almost impacted his daughter's life. And it really, in a way, changed the trajectory of his career at Alabama, where he'd only been there a few years to that point. And him having to step out and choosing to step out and become part of the face of the recovery and really stepping up, whether it was handing out water bottles, visiting shelters, shining a light on what was going on there. It was invaluable and really tied him to the community in a way that I think we're still seeing today. I've covered Alabama for a long time, and I can't tell you how many people have told me that that was the turning point where we no longer question, when is Nick Saban leaving Tuscaloosa for the next challenge? He was there, and I think that was a big point in his career that, like a lot of people, stays with him even 10 years later.
And it's so interesting, Alex, because yeah, Alabama won the title in 09 and 10. They didn't get there. And in 11, if I remember, LSU was the team that everyone thought might supplant Alabama. That was before the season, of course. And, you know, there wasn't as much optimism that Alabama could pull it off. I'm curious in your reporting and your reflections being there. What was it about that moment in time that you think changed Nick Saban?
I think seeing the destruction firsthand and witnessing his impact on people. That's what he told me when we spoke, is that just being there, just talking to individuals and hearing their stories, it impacted him, but he also learned how much it impacted them. His presence alone was big. And I'm not sure he quite understood that fully to that point. He said that after that happened, they chose him and Miss Terry's wife, Miss Terry, chose to get involved in a number of ways. They built homes for Habitat for Humanity. The initial goal was 13 homes for 13 national championships, and they've since continued that. But he said that they did more. They did stuff before the tornado, but afterward, it became abundantly clear that this is something we need to continue doing. We can have a huge impact here that goes beyond football. I spoke to Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox, and he told me, look, you go back to 2007, and everybody's expecting us to win a national championship at some point. But they're also expecting shortly after that for Nick Saban to be lured away to another opportunity. It was just assumed. But when this big thing happened, he said they all became forged in this tragedy. And it was a powerful thing. And you saw it sort of carry on into the season. The players stepped up in a huge way. I talked to Barrett Jones, and he said it was incredibly unifying to go through that. So when they did lose a heartbreaker to LSU during the regular season, they were able to bounce back. And I think in college football, maybe more so than professional, chemistry does mean something. And playing for something bigger than yourself means something. And I think while you can't lay that national championship solely at the feet of what happened in Tuscaloosa months earlier, it was in the back of their mind. It was a motivating factor the entire time. And it's why it was such a magical season for them. And you saw them on the field in New Orleans afterwards, citing that as a point of reference. It didn't leave them, even though they had to put their head down and play the game of football. What was going on around them was still so important.
You know, Alex, it's so interesting to remember that date. That was a Wednesday. On that Thursday, the 28th, was the NFL draft. And I believe six players from Alabama and Auburn, including Cam Newton, going number one, Marcell Dareus. You had Mark Ingram. So many others, Julio Jones, six players went in the first round. And I mean, this is just my own personal recollection, but on our program, on that Thursday, the day of the draft was never mentioned. It had the tornado just simply changed everything for such a long time. And I know that the draft had to be celebrated, and I know that everyone remembered the draft, including Coach Saban. But it didn't matter the next day in the state of Alabama.
No, not when you've had upwards of 50 people pass away and jobs that are gone in an instant. I mean, the level of destruction that took place, it was incredible. And I just remember I had just arrived in Tuscaloosa when that happened. I was working as a sports reporter. And I'm telling you, sports was the last thing on my mind after that. And you were part of a community at that point, the entire state of Alabama, and seeing trucks roll in from in-state, out of state, all that mattered was getting back on your feet. That's all that mattered in that moment. While the draft is a hugely important thing, and I remember talking to Nick Saban about that specifically, brought up, like, what do I do as it relates to the draft? And he decided to delay going up there because he felt he needed to be on the ground. He felt he needed to be a voice for those who needed one, and a voice to bring attention to what was going on down there. And I spoke to several people who told me, look, he's a football coach, yes, but he's the most visible face in the state of Alabama. And what he did by bringing attention to what was going on there, it magnified it. It brought in donations. It brought in relief efforts. I mean, to quantify the level of volunteers and dollars that poured in after that, it's hard to draw a direct line to Nick Saban and his wife and the way they stood out in front. But that certainly played a huge role. The immediate aftermath, there was no sense that football needed to be the first and foremost thing. In fact, when Nick Saban met with his team the following day, he said, forget about football. Whoever would imagine Nick Saban, who is as single-minded a coach as anyone to ever have coached the game of college football, told him, forget about it. You need to focus on Tuscaloosa being here and what you can do to help. That was the focus.
It was also interesting, I think it was on that Friday, that Gene Chizik and his team came up. I can't remember, you know, specifically where they went in the Birmingham. It may have been the Birmingham area or in the Tuscaloosa area, but yeah, it was a group effort. Saban obviously being the figure, but you know, Chizik was the defending national champion as well. It was truly a remarkable time. Can't wait to read your piece. Let me ask you about Alabama And, you know, I've heard a lot, as everyone has, about the camp. And we may see a lot Saturday. We probably won't if it's two versus ones and one versus twos. But what are your impressions so far from what you've heard about the camp?
I think they're in a good place. I mean, you lose everything they've lost, whether it's Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, the list goes on and on. Alabama's used to this. That's nothing new. I think the defense has a chance to be really special. Christian Harris sort of stepping into a bigger leadership role at linebacker. I think that secondary has a chance to be really good and solidify with Malachi Moore and Jordan Battle. They've got players there. I think the player everybody's going to be looking at on Saturday, and you're right, maybe it's vanilla offense, maybe not, but it's Bryce Young. We've been hearing about him for more than a year now. I mean, if you rewind the tape to a year ago, there were folks saying, does Bryce beat out Mac Jones for their starting job? It seems silly to say now when Mac may go in the top five. But Bryce has that kind of special ability. He's athletic. He's got a strong arm. He's a guy who can play from the pocket and create plays. He did not maybe play with the level of confidence in the offense that Nick Saban really wanted to see last season, but some of that was a result of not being able to play as much because of a different schedule. They've seen an improvement in him in mastering the offense. And I'm telling you, that's the thing to look for. If he can be the guy who controls the offense and really kind of steers the ship with his athleticism and the talent they have around him, Alabama could be once again right in the national championship hunt.
No doubt. Alex Scarborough, can't wait to read your piece as it becomes public on ESPN.com. We're heading to a break. Much more to come right here on a very busy Thursday afternoon. We'll talk about Justin Fields in a few minutes. Right now, we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back, and really excited to talk to Quincy Avery, who has tutored so many young players, not only to try to help them develop their skill as a quarterback, but to develop as human beings. Quincy, thanks so much for making the time. It's so good to make your acquaintance. I hope you're well.
Really appreciate you having me on, Paul. I hope you're having an excellent day.
We're doing great. And I want to come back to something in a minute, but I want to start just talking a little about the draft. We've been talking about the draft, and I know you have some very strong feelings about Justin Fields, among others. I know you have feelings about a lot of young players, but in particular, is he getting his due? And I know he's going to end up going reasonably high, but what are your thoughts on not so much where he ends up, but what has been said about him for the last couple of weeks?
It's been really frustrating to see some of the perceptions that people are trying to put out there about Justin in terms of, like, his work ethic, the things that he does off the field. And, like, that's really an attack on his character. And I feel like at every opportunity, Justin Fields has done the exact right thing, the exact way you'd want it done. And if you had a quarterback in your team, I don't think that there's anybody who could say that they haven't experienced something. He was just a hard worker and did all the little things the right way and was tough as nails and really loved the game of football. So it's really been frustrating to hear people talk about him in that way.
You know, I believe we talked to you early in the pandemic about among the many young men that you've worked with, including Josh Dobbs and Deshaun Watson, Haskins, so many others, and as well as Justin Fields. And I'm curious what people maybe are missing about Justin Fields, because it's hard not to, if you're objective, which that's another day, but it's hard not to respect and admire what he's overcome. And I mean, he's been at the highest level for so long. He's had some bad breaks, but I'm just curious to who is Justin Fields?
Justin Fields is someone with a super strong work ethic, very, very talented, and a super smart kid. And I think the more and more I look at it, I start to understand maybe some reasons people pick him apart as like a leader. Like, he's not the most vocal guy, but that doesn't mean he's not a great leader. Anytime you go into a room with him and other quarterbacks there or anybody else on the football team, people gravitate towards Justin. Like, he doesn't have to talk. He doesn't have to be rah-rah to get guys to move in the direction he wants. Like, yeah, he's not Tom Brady, not going to scream in your face, but every time you see him and you're looking for what should I be doing, you can just do what Justin Fields is doing, and you'll be on the right track.
I know you have so many admirers, and a good friend of ours, Josh Dobbs, leading the club. But I do want to ask you, Quincy, and it's associated with your past. And what I mean by that is you grew up in Minneapolis. I think I understand not far from where George Floyd died. What is that experience, that whole episode been like for you as a young man in this country, watching your old area of your old neighborhood, for that matter, you know, become such a not only a topic of conversation in this country, but around the world?
It's interesting. I grew up probably six blocks away from where George Floyd was murdered. So it's been like a whirlwind, right? But it kind of puts things into perspective a little bit, and shows you that, like, football is not the most important thing going on in the world right now. There's other really important things that we need to be pushing forward. But I think some of the, I guess, like, just honestly, some of the racism that creeps into that also creeps into the way that people view black quarterbacks, right? And I'm saying it because they look at him in a biased way. From origin, they're not like, I don't want to have this guy as my quarterback because he's a black quarterback. But oftentimes people don't have the familiarity with the things that they're used to, the things that they do, to understand who they are and to look at them in an unbiased platform. So it's really full circle with where I came from and what I'm doing right now.
You know, Quincy, to hear you say that, now I'm not acting like I'm surprised, I'm not, but when I first started covering college football 40 years ago, I mean, you know, black quarterbacks, you know, were dealing with it then, and we acted like it all went away, but it hasn't, has it?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't went away. Like, I wouldn't even dare say this in a way. It's gotten better, but it's also gotten it's a little more hidden, right? Like, the way that we do things, we knock people a little differently. You're not going to see Justin chewed up a draft board because he's really intelligent. And when you take him through all, like, the academic stuff that we do in the NFL and as far as testing, and he scores off the charts, like, they're not going to say, wow, well, maybe he's not in the locker room as much because he gets it so quick. Like, he doesn't get those benefits. And it really is across the board at the quarterback position. We see it.
I mean, he's still projected. We have about a minute left. We have Mel Kiper on in a minute. He's still projected in the top 10. And, I mean, as somebody that knows him, are you concerned that he ends up in the right place, forgetting what number it is?
Yeah, I think that's more of my concern. Like, I've seen guys go really early and their situation's not great. I'm more hopeful that he goes somewhere that has the right people around him that's going to give him the opportunity to be successful, because if he gets in a situation where he has the ability to do what he's capable of, Justin's going to be a special player in the NFL for a very, very long time.
Quincy Avery, such an important person for a lot of young people. I hope you'll come back. Thank you very much for your time, and all the best to you.
Really appreciate you having me on. See you soon.
You got it. Great to have you on. You know, we're talking about the latest projection. I think we showed it a second ago. And we'll have Mel on at the bottom of the hour. But, you know, these are projections. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the draft. Right now it's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, who will be here in an hour, and Kyle Pitts. Can all this change? Of course it can change. We are going to take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.